Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
I just wanted to welcome everyone to church this morning. Again, it's very different. I don't want to keep saying it, but it's really different here in the room as well with like literally no one. But I just want to welcome everyone. And we've had people write to us, like literally all around the world, people watching our services. And I want to say hi to Lynn in the UK, who was with us in Bible college in the 90s. And she came and she just shared with me just the devastation that they've been experiencing over there in the UK. They've been in lockdown since March the 23rd, and they're just starting to emerge from that now. We in Victoria are going in. We've come back into lockdown, right? We are back in. And for most of us, we've had to make some changes. And I was thinking about it this week with regards to church. And if you had have said at the end of last year when we were making a leadership change at church that we would have 5 people in church in 6 months, I don't know if we would have made that change. I've been laughing a little bit on the outside about that. Maybe not in the inside, but hey, we are where we're at, and God is working through it. But honestly, I wanted to say this morning that here's our commitment as a church to you, God's people. We as a church, we will not step back from giving God glory, from declaring Him as Lord, even through these tough times. We believe that God is working in and through this season. We believe that we will see a mighty outpouring of His Spirit as we declare Him as Lord. We will not be silent in declaring Jesus as King through this time. And no matter how long it takes for us to come back together in a physical sense, we will be stronger, I believe, as we emerge from the other end, as we are committed to growing through this season. We'll see people return to Him. We will see broken hearts mended. We'll see life and light return to the dark places in people's lives, and we will see the hurting healed. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray, I will and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I'll forgive their sin and heal their land. We will see a healing in our land. Amen. We will continue to do our best to be faithful servants of God in providing love, care and support to those in our community who need it. And I pray, I want you to know, I continue to pray for every one of you all the time, that you would see the way that God is at work in you through these times. I don't know about you, but I get excited, a little bit excited when we go through times of opposition like this. For whenever you see opposition, if you read the word, whenever you see opposition, you know that there's something going on, and you know there's something that comes out the other end. You know there's a miracle coming around the corner. And every time it was about seeking God's face, about hearing His voice, and about being obedient to His call. And I want to encourage you at this time, set aside some time to seek His face. Make sure you put the time aside to hear His voice. And then let's be disciplined in going ahead and being obedient to His call on our lives. Check this out. I was so excited reading this week. So this is in 2 Timothy we're going to read. And this is where Paul is writing this letter to Timothy. And he's been through some stuff. And he's in prison. And it's really funny. Like even there's some people who believe that even it says prison in there, it actually means house arrest. It could mean prison or house arrest. House arrest. Like, check it out. 2 Timothy 2 verse 8 to 13. It says, remember Jesus Christ risen from the dead, the offspring of David, as preached in my gospel. Verse 9, for which I am suffering, bound with chains as a criminal. Say this with me at home. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure everything for the sake of the elect, that they also may obtain the salvation that is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. The saying is trustworthy. For if we have died with Him, we will also live with Him. If we endure, we will also reign with Him. If we deny Him, He will also deny us. If we are faithless, He remains faithful, for He cannot deny Himself. Though we may be stuck up at home, the Word of God is not in chains. The Word of God will go forth And I'm just so excited about that. That even through these times, that the Word of God is going to go out. It is going to go beyond the walls of our church. It is going to go beyond the walls of our homes and be taken up in the hearts of people. It's exciting. Before we get to the message, I just want to give you a couple of updates on what's going on and the way that you've been giving and what that's been going towards. So firstly, when we first started with not doing church here, and we set up what we called a needs fund. And the needs fund was specifically so that you could give and it would be made available to anyone in our community or anyone in our church community or family that has a need through this time. And we've been able to use that to bless a few people so far. And one of the families that we've been able to bless over the last couple of weeks through one of the members of our church is a family from our Jelly Beans playgroup, which have been struggling to run, but they still have a bit of community there. And one of these mums was going through a really tough time with the family. And you, through your giving, have been able to support this mum with some grocery vouchers and some other bits and pieces. This is the opportunity we have. It's to be a blessing to those around us at this moment. And so if you have been feeling to give and you'd like to give, then you can do that. We don't use it for anything here. It goes straight to people in need. And so if you want to do that, I encourage you, go to the website, lmc.org.au/give, and you can do it there. And if you have a need, if there's something that's going on, please, I want to break the fact that we think that we are failing when we have a need. You are not a failure if you have a need right now. And we as a community are able to support those, just as you will be able to support someone in the future. So if you have a need, please let us know. Please let us know. Secondly, we've been doing a great job on the ground here, but I want to lift your eyes to Amari as well. I spoke to Marita this week over email, and they have been doing it tough over there as well. And they're not only dealing with this pandemic, but they're also dealing with floods over there. They've been rising lake waters and floods, and has caused a number of the children to move away from the area of the school. And even more fishermen, they've lost their income and they're being chased away from the area actually by the government over there. Marita started off her email and she wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone who has continued their support, whether it be through sponsorship or through the emergency relief fund over there. She can't thank you enough. And through this, they've been able to support 350 families over there with need, with goods that they've been able to provide. I've got some photos here. They visited the fishing village where they are. And check out this flooding. She says it's bad. Now about this is not the fishing village, but there's about 2/3 of the village is totally uninhabitable. So this is some photos. Yep, that next one is them. This is the fishing village that is underwater. And the next one is Richard and Stephen, who are there checking it out. This is their staff cook, who's now living in the church. Women and children sleep inside and the men sleep outside of the church. The next one is builders and ground staff clearing the land. They're ready for the next secondary building, so things are still progressing over there as well. And then here's some shots of just the way they've been doing school, of teachers preparing to deliver the things to the students in the villages, and they've been covering the books and sorting out the library, and they've been learning to touch type on the computers. And she says masks are theoretically compulsory when in public or working closely with people. So there are still 50 children that need sponsoring. And if you've been thinking about it, now's the time. Jump on their website, amari.org.au, and you'll be able to donate or do that through there. So thank you. Thank you for being a church that's so willing to give, that's so willing to put aside your own needs and put it out for someone else. So let's just pray for Amari. Let's pray God's touch on their on their compound. Father, we thank you for the way that you're at work in Amari. Father, we thank you for the vision of that place. Lord God, I pray right now for your strength to be upon Marita and upon the leadership team over there, that you would continue to give them strength, Lord God, and energy to do that which you have purposed them over there. Father, I pray that they would know every step of the way that they are supported by us over here, Lord God, but most importantly, that you are with them. You are with them right now. And Father, we pray for the kids that are missing their school, Lord God, that are struggling to make ends meet right now. Father God, that they would be able to learn to lean on you, Lord God, as their provider. Father, that they would see you do miracles in their lives over there. So Father, we thank you for the work of that ministry and pray your hand upon it right now in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. 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 Thank you, Steph. Steph's right here. All right, the message today. Now, for the past 3 weeks, we've been in a series called Under Pressure, and I've really enjoyed this series and what we've heard. And last week, we heard from Nick, and she spoke on praise in the pressure, and it was fantastic. And if you didn't watch it, I encourage you to go back and have a look at that. Check it out after this service. And she spoke about our response to the pressure we feel. And when we decide to praise God when we're under pressure, it acts as both a weapon and a witness to those around us. And to be honest, that's one thing that's been a real positive through this season. I hear of people having opportunities that they would otherwise not have had to actually share their faith, to be a witness. But I wonder whether there's been a moment for you, and there has been for me through this time, where you wish you could just snap your fingers and fast forward like 6 months or fast forward like 12 months. Do we just wish, you know, oh man, this is tough, let's snap and go forward. And we really don't know how long we'd need to snap forward. That's part of the problem, isn't it? But I'm putting my hand up for that. I don't know if you're putting your hand up at home. But my man, I know God is teaching us through this. He is growing us and he is teaching us. But it's hard sometimes. And I think about it like the corona coaster that we're on is just like up and down and up and down and throwing you around. And man, it feels like it's tiring when you hop off it, you know. And today I had planned to bring a message on the pressure of work, the pressure of our workplaces. And work being, you know, whether you're a stay-at-home parent and that's work for you, or whether you're a student, like that's debatable for school students if they're working or not. I don't know. If you're a student, we know it's tough. Don't worry, guys. Or if you're in full-time work, whatever it is, volunteering, how the pressure of the expectation within work to live up to a certain standard or to achieve something can sometimes be all-consuming. But in light of what we're experiencing today, again, I felt to broaden this a little, because the answer to that question, or the end that we were going to get to, is as applicable in a broad sense as it is to our work situation as well. So you can take it across both. And it's not just how to alleviate the pressure in work, but it's how to alleviate, or how to prevent ourselves from being crushed under the pressure of dissatisfaction. And so the title of my message today is The Pressure of Dissatisfaction. Many of you would know that my work life started at Woolworths, around the supermarket. Man, I'm thankful I'm not in the supermarket right now. And props to everyone who works in a supermarket. You guys are serving us well, and thank you very much for all you're doing. But there were these moments when I was there as one of the managers that you knew something was coming, and you have something called a visit. I don't know if anyone's familiar with what a visit actually is, but a visit was when one of the big bosses, one of the big wigs, was coming down to actually check out your department or check out your store. And these were moments that were high pressure. And the frustrating thing for us as managers was we were doing all this work in like cleaning a little bit of sticky tape off here, or doing this over here, or fixing up something out the back, or writing something down. And none of it actually, we felt, none of it was actually moving forward for our goal, which was to sell food and to make a profit and to serve the customers that were in the building. It was all about these little things for this visit. And it was days like this that I would actually head home from work and I'd be dissatisfied. I'd be dissatisfied with my work, with what I was doing, and I'd be deflated. And there were some things at that job that actually energized me and got me going, and there are some things that were really deflating. And I don't know if you can relate to that as well. Think back to your own work career. Or even at school, there are some things that really energize you and get you going. PE, outside, bring it on. But other things, maths, like English, like, man, just deflating. Sorry, English teachers. I'm sorry. I try not to do that. Sorry. School is good, students. You need to work hard at school. Did I fix it? I don't know. Anyway, dissatisfaction. We get dissatisfied. What does it feel like? But dissatisfaction, if we're honest, it goes far beyond just our work and just our job or our vocation. In fact, if we're honest, we can feel dissatisfied with most areas of life. Most aspects of it can bring some dissatisfaction to us. And it's interesting when you think about satisfaction, the word. What actually truly satisfies? What truly satisfies? Because that answer to that question, if we're honest, can actually change depending on the moment that we're in. Pre-lockdown, how many people were so busy that when a party came up on a Saturday night or you're going over to a friend's place, sometimes it was like, oh, I just wish I could have a night at home. Like, man, I just need another night at home. And now it's like, dude, let's get out every day and see someone, you know? The satisfaction of being with people or of being at home has totally flipped on its head because of our circumstances. One season, something feels like a burden, and yet in the next season, it satisfies. If you've got a pool at home, then I don't know if you've got a pool and you've got kids, for some reason, inevitably, at this time of the year, I don't know what it is, kids like under the age of 10 just want to go for a swim. Like, I don't know what's going on with children of that age that they're like, let's go for a swim no matter the weather. Maybe they're still developing or something. I don't know. But it's the last thing that most of us want to do right now is go for a swim. Yet when it comes to a 40-degree day in summer, how satisfying it is to go for a swim in a pool and get cooled down in a pool. It satisfies then and yet it sucks now. Satisfaction and yeah. Anyway. And both of these are actually a direct result of the circumstances that we find ourselves in. But if we take it a step further, then it changes a little bit as well. It's not only circumstantial. There was about 6 months when we had our third child, Roman, that it was a really tough time for us. 6 months, we had a great time with him as baby. And then for another 6 months at that point, it actually got really tough. And I know there's some young parents in the church at the moment, and I know it's been a little bit tough for you as well. There is a light to the end of that tunnel. And even for those who are pregnant at the moment and are going to have a baby, get excited about it. It's all good. Not all of it, but most of it's good. So you'll be right as well. But we had this tough time, and it was really sleep depriving. And for 6 months, we'd forgotten what sleep actually was, really. And everything in life just becomes hard, really hard when you're going through that. And for some people, they can look in and they can go, man, come on, dude, chin up, you're all right. But when you're in it, it's hard, right? When you're in it, it's really hard. And there's this amazing contradiction in a moment like that. There was, as I was considering it. Because on one hand, we have this beautiful child, this beautiful baby that we've been hoping for. And he was an absolute blessing and an absolute joy. And then on the other hand, was the same thing was the cause of all of this strife, all of this trouble that we found ourselves in. And it was hard because in those moments where we were so sleep deprived and you're holding him in your arms at 3 o'clock in the morning and you're just like, I need to sleep, I've got a meeting tomorrow, whatever it is, your mindset actually changes about that circumstance that you're actually going through. And not even the greatest going out for the greatest meal or hearing the funniest joke or going on a wonderful holiday would actually satisfy through those moments because of the mindset that we were actually in because of our circumstances. The mindset is something that if we don't keep control of our mindset in those times, then they can override the good and they can even override the great that we experience. Y'all know I love Fruit Loops, right? But not even Fruit Loops could drag me out of that darkness that I was in right now. Maybe give me 2 seconds of sugar hit, but that's it. Perhaps you've experienced loss or tragedy in the past, and those things that made you happy no longer did for a season. So we can determine that striving for satisfaction in anything that we can see or touch is fleeting. It's momentary. It can be stripped away in an instant, and it is largely controlled either by our circumstances or our mindset. The book of Ecclesiastes is full of this. King Solomon, widely believed to be the wisest man who ever existed, wrote a whole book pretty much about being dissatisfied with life. It's so well written, and it's got some great wisdom. But it's full of things like, so you see this new thing, well, I'm sure someone else has done it in the past. Or vanity, everything is vanity, he says. I seem to think he says it like this, everything's vanity. Anyway, Ecclesiastes 1:14, we're going to look at. It says, I have seen everything that is done under the sun, and behold, all is vanity and a striving after the wind. See, we've been designed for greater things than just the trivial pursuit of pleasure. Seeking eternal satisfaction in the things of this world is like chasing the wind. Once we've finished running after it and chasing it, we are exhausted and we look down in our hands. And if you've ever tried to chase the wind, you look down in your hands and not only are your hands empty, but you're disappointed because you haven't found what you were looking for in chasing that wind. It's such a powerful image, that chasing the wind. We waste valuable time chasing nothing when we could have been pursuing true joy and peace. One of the problems is that our hearts are black holes of discontentment. And I'm sure you might have seen this in people or seen it in society. We just devour relationships and we devour possessions and all the while, and you see this in people, they're screaming, I just need more, I just need more. And we're constantly devouring it. We're always eating, but never satisfied. It's kind of like this image I have of maybe you've seen a movie and they put a skeleton in the movie and the skeleton has a drink of water. And what happens is the water just filters out. It doesn't actually stick. And no matter how much water you put down the throat, it just fails to satisfy. It just leaks out. One of the lessons I believe that we've been learning through this through the course of this pandemic is how we respond when things are forced away from us or taken from us. What has it revealed about the relationships we have? What has that revealed about the things we used to rely on for fulfillment? What has it revealed about what you value most in life? I was reading an article this week that detailed some of the negative aspects that a lockdown has brought on really the whole world as having on people. After all, when we find ourselves in a position of increased anxiety or stress, we often turn to coping strategies, which like many of these things have been adapted while we've been at home. And when we're forced to see our dissatisfaction with our lives or with the people that we are, my question is, what happens next? When we are brought to a position where we see that we're dissatisfied, what do we do? What happens next? 40% of Australians say that they use alcohol to cope with stress. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of people that have been stressed through this time. Netflix added another 16 million subscribers in the first 3 months of the year as various cities went into being locked down. Some have lost themselves to the binge. Weight gain has been on the rise, and some have resorted to trying to eat their way out of stress while being at home. And the porn industry has seen an over 20% increase, with a major website releasing premium content for free. This is on top of the 115 million visits each and every day last year. That is an extra 23 million views per day. How are we dealing? How are we dealing? It breaks my heart. Many are struggling to come with grips of the realization that what they've put their hope in to satisfy just can't fill the gaping hole that's been uncovered. And even this week as I was writing this message, I know God was asking me, Andy, where is your true satisfaction? Have you unwillingly placed too high a value on things apart from me to find your satisfaction? Here's a promise for us right now, for those who say, hey, I'm ready to grow. I may be a little dry, but I'm looking for greater satisfaction than what I'm finding right now. It's in Isaiah 58 and 11. It says, and the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your desire in scorched places. Even in scorched places, he will satisfy your desire and make your bones strong. And you shall be like a watered garden, like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. True satisfaction can be found in nothing but Jesus. Nothing but Jesus. And God has offered himself to us by the person of Jesus to exceed our expectations, to provide for our needs, and to fulfill our desires. The Bible is full of promises of satisfaction to those who are discontent, and we need look no further. I've got four scriptures here. You might want to write them down. John 6:35. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger, and whoever believes in me shall never thirst. Psalm 107 verse 9. For he satisfies the longing soul, and the hungry soul he fills with good things. Psalm 22:26. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. And Psalm 16:11, in your presence there is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures evermore. See, seeking Christ for true satisfaction, it actually serves two purposes. Firstly, it is for our good. God designed you. He knows you better than anyone in the world, meaning he knows exactly what you need. And he wants you actually to be blessed. Newsflash, God wants you to have a good life. He created the world. He created all the good things in it, and they all come from him. He just gives you the right guidance and direction in these things so that you don't get caught up thinking that the created is greater than the creator. Seeking true satisfaction in Christ is for our good. Because I think sometimes we can see the good things in life and we go, man, it's a good thing to like that good thing. And a lot of the times it is because it's been created from God. But we continue to need to see that. We see God in the good thing. We see God as the creator in the good thing that we partake in. And the second thing is that it is for the glory of God. John Piper, I love it, he says it this way. He says, God is most glorified in us as we are most satisfied in him. As we choose to not only say, Jesus, you are Lord over my life, but in our actions we say, God, I'm not going to put anything above you. My ultimate satisfaction is found in you. Though I may go through tragedy, though I may experience pain, and though I may fail, God, my satisfaction is in you above all else. I'm going to close now. I'm just going to tell you a story. And then I've asked Steph to prepare a song. We're going to sing a song after this that I just hope is a moment for you at home to consider just where your satisfaction lies. I heard it put this way. Cass and I have been married. I didn't hear this story. This is our story. Cass and I have been married for 13 years. I hope that's right. 13 or 14 years. We've been married for a good amount of time. And imagine me going to her on our anniversary and saying, baby. Yeah, that's what I call her. Baby, I'd love to take you out to dinner tonight. I would love to take you out for dinner tonight. It would make me so happy to spend the night with you. And can you imagine if she turned around and said, oh, this is for you, is it? You want to get the pleasure out of spending the time with me. Well, I don't want a bar of that. Like, you are so selfish. You're going to spend the time with me because you want to, because it'll make you glad. And it sounds so weird, doesn't it? Because the fact that we actually want to spend the time with that person and do something for that person, it feels honoring when someone does that to you, when someone does that for you. You feel honored that they want to spend that time with you. And it's the same as we find satisfaction in Christ, that we want to be with him in his presence because it makes us glad. It's not a selfish thing. It's putting us right where God wants us and has designed us to be. As we live with this heart, we can't help but be a witness. We can't help but be a witness to the life-saving and the life-giving grace of Jesus Christ. See, this message is one of hope to those around us. When you're looking for satisfaction, you can find it. You can find it in Jesus Christ. This isn't just positive thinking. These aren't just words where we're closing our eyes until the pain stops and we're going to get through. These are words that are life. Christ died that we may have life. And what? Say with me. And have it to the full. Yeah. How when you're stuck at home, we find out that the satisfaction is not in our feelings, but it is in He who reigns above all. So you're under pressure? You're feeling dissatisfied with life at the moment? As we sing this song, I pray that you'd allow every burden to be lifted in His presence today. As we sing under the name above every other name, the name of Jesus. Just close your eyes. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this world that you created, that we get to be a part of. We thank you for the way that we can look around, and if our eyes are open, we can see your beauty and we can see your glory in everything that you have made. Even when it comes to the people around us, Lord God, who may hurt us, who we may see that are just doing the wrong thing, Father God, we see them through your eyes and we see the way that you love them, that you're your creation. Father God, I pray for anyone who has been searching for satisfaction, for all of us who have been searching for satisfaction in things outside of you. Father, I pray today, just even as we sing this song right now, that you would take your rightful place as Lord over our lives. Just in this moment, I can't see you, but God can. And Jesus, this name that we talk about, this name that we say is the name above every other name. You see, he's not just a name. Jesus was a person who lived on this earth and came to die for you and for me. Because we are stuck. We are stuck in our sin. We are stuck looking for satisfaction and trying to find it in anything else the world has to offer. But Jesus came that we may be able to have a relationship again with God the Father for eternity. It's incredible. And he came and he died for you. And I'm just speaking to anyone right now who perhaps over this lockdown, I've heard a lot of positive things. I've heard a bunch of people that say, man, I'm doing well. But I also know that some people have struggled with this. And perhaps there's some of these things that I mentioned that even in your life in lockdown at home have been really hard. And perhaps you've tried to find satisfaction in things outside of God. Well, I want you to know today that you are forgiven, that you are set free, that you don't need to have any shame. God sees you, he knows you, he loves you, and Jesus died for you once and for all. I don't know if you're there today and perhaps you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. I want to give you the opportunity today to say yes to Jesus. See, the Bible says he's knocking on the door of our heart, and all we need to do is open the door and let him in. And if that's you today, I want to pray for you. Just where you are, you don't need to put your hand up in the air. You can raise your hand in your heart, as we say. And then I'm just going to send you to our website. We've got a place where you can fill in your details, and one of us can get in contact with you and just take you through this journey of what it is to know Jesus. But if that's you today, and you need to know Jesus, I want to pray for you. Church, let's pray for these people right now. Father God, I pray for every single person who has decided to accept you as their Lord and Savior today. Father, we know that we enter into this time. We don't know all about it. But Father, we know enough. We know that you loved us so much. We look at ourselves and we know that we are broken. That whenever we look for satisfaction anywhere else, we find out that we can't. It doesn't fulfill us. But Father, I thank you for these people right now who are accepting you, Jesus. I pray that they would know satisfaction in you today, that they would know the peace that you bring to their lives today. Father, we thank you for dying for us on the cross. We thank you for forgiving us of our sins. We thank you for allowing us to enter into eternal life with you. Right now, we put aside everything that we've built up, and we say, Jesus, be Lord of our lives again today. In Jesus' mighty name. Everyone said, amen, amen.
Hi, everyone. My name is Ron, and I'm delighted to be sharing a few thoughts on communion this morning. Look, if you don't already have them, please have your elements ready and close by so we can eat and drink together. So here we are, looking at a very familiar part of our church service with the bread that represents Christ's body broken to make us whole, and the wine which represents Christ's blood given as payment for our sins. Of course, nothing actually happens to the elements themselves as we pray and partake of them, but spiritually, something profound is going on each and every time. As we get to what the symbols of bread and grape juice represent, and when we respond to Jesus through faith, he meets us with his grace. And grace isn't given to excuse us from our sins, like a get-out-of-jail-free card in Monopoly games, but rather, it enables us to connect back to God the Father as a direct result of Christ's work on the cross that paid the ultimate price for our sins. 1 Peter 2:25 says that we were lost, like sheep gone astray, but are now brought back to follow the shepherd. So, Jesus brought salvation for the lost. Further, by his grace, we have courage for the fearful, wisdom for the perplexed, rest for the weary, joy for the brokenhearted, peace for the unsettled, strength for the weak. And these are available to us where we are at, in our routines, in our homes, and as an entire body of believers. In Ephesians 3:20, we see that Jesus meets us in every way, in fact, in more ways than we can ever ask or imagine. This means, regardless of anything else, God is with us. God is with us, firstly, in the natural. Over the past 17 or so weeks, at some point, our daily routines have been dislodged. And I mean, even communion itself has shifted in its look and feel. For our family, the elements are, well, V8 vegetable juice, which is green, served in medicine measuring cups, and a rice cracker. No one hands it to us. We aren't sitting in our spot at church. So we're set up to focus on the disruption or to open up to the opportunity right now to remember Christ's death and resurrection in such an intimate and powerful and relatable way where we are at in our very own homes, the place we spend more time in than anywhere else. God is with us in our emotions. And boy, we've had a range of emotions, even for the stoic among us, over the past several months. But since Jesus was fully man, while also fully God, we know that he not only can relate to emotions, but even went through tremendous moments in his life, here on earth, especially as he neared his crucifixion. In the Garden of Gethsemane, for instance, we read in Mark 4:34, Jesus saying, "My soul is overwhelmed with sorrow to the point of death." Yet just a few verses later, he's clearly frustrated as he finds the disciples sleeping after he asked them to keep watch while he went to pray. He went through a lot more, from his arrest, being beaten, carrying the cross, and being nailed to it before breathing his last. Yet the purpose behind this entire ordeal never left his mind. And so we have Hebrews 12:22 urging us to fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of God. Let's not be condemned by where our emotions can sometimes lead us, remembering that we have the ultimate victory won for us by Christ. Finally, there is the spiritual aspect. We know that a healthy physical diet means a healthy body and a healthy mind. We feel great when we do this well. Well, spiritually it's the same. In addition to prayer, reading and meditation on God's word, communion is a key part of our spiritual diet. In fact, it's a spiritual feast as we connect with the past, as commanded by Jesus in Luke 22:19, in remembrance of his ultimate act of love and redemption on that cross, in obedience to God the Father and reconciling us back to him. It's a spiritual feast for the present. Hebrews 4:15 and 16 says, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. Let us then approach God's throne of grace with confidence that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." Well, this means No approach is too much approach. And no communion is too much communion. And we can even do this in addition to our Sunday service, wherever we call home. And finally, it's a spiritual feast continuing into the future. 1 Corinthians 11:26 says that each time we take part in communion, we proclaim his death until he comes again. This means that communion is a profoundly joyous act for our spirit, which will live on with God in heaven, thanks to Christ's redeeming work and the direct access we have to the Father. So please, take your elements, whatever they are, aware of the grace of God that enables us to be here today, and let us eat together and let us drink together in faith. Father, thank you that nothing can separate us from your love. Thank you that there is no limit to your love for us, even to the point of giving us your Son, who lived, died, and rose again amongst us to provide us the way back to you. Thank you that we are no longer condemned, but we are your sons and your daughters who can boldly approach you for all matters in our lives, as we are, where we are at. Thank you that you transform us and continue working in us in all seasons of our lives until the day of Christ Jesus. Amen.